What is going on, Swoopers? Welcome back to another episode of Swoop Luke. In this episode, we'll be previewing the biggest game that Collingwood and Essendon have played this century. Let's get into it. Before we do get into it, shout out to the sponsors of this video, Footy Live, the app. Go find it on the App Store, on Google Play. All the links are down below. Stand by this app, absolutely love it, and you'll be seeing stats and stuff pop up throughout the videos. Now, let's get into the preview for this Anzac Day game. Like I alluded to at the start of this video in the intro, it is the biggest Collingwood Essendon game in the last 20 or so years, like bigger than any that I could remember. From what I can remember during Anzac Day games, it's either been Collingwood have been really good and Essendon have been bad, Essendon have been really good, Collingwood have been bad, or both teams have been bad. I don't remember an Anzac Day game where both teams are not only very good at, you know, to start the season, but both in the top four. I reckon it hasn't happened for years and years and years and years. And if you know, let me know down below. But the Bombers are flying, right? They are absolutely purring thanks to Brad Scott and what he's been able to do and revigorate them and give Essendon a little bit of meaning. You know, they've been directionless for the last few years, and that's not a pot shot. There's a lot of teams that have been directionless. Collingwood have, as well, not for the last few years, but Collingwood, you know, have been there. And Collingwood, 4-1, Craig McRae has just got this team, you know, with missing personnel, flying as well. Like 4-1, you know, beating St Kilda in the gather round, and now we verse Essendon, who are second on the ladder, and Pies are third on the ladder. By the end of this round, because St Kilda versus Carlton, so 1v4, and then we've got 2v3, Collingwood and Essendon. Collingwood, Essendon, or St Kilda will sit on top of the ladder going into round 7. So, let's have a look at Essendon. They absolutely smashed Melbourne last week. That was their big test. Melbourne, yes, had a few players out, but it didn't diminish what Essendon were able to do to them. Melbourne just had no answers. They were in the lead for a little bit, and then, you know, Essendon just blew them absolutely out of the water, pretty much thanks to Zach Merritt, Darcy Parrish, Sam Draper, Dylan Shield. Their midfield is kind of like Collingwood midfield, where you haven't just got one sort of star that's doing everything in the mid and getting 12 clearances and 7 tackles. Everyone is standing up and doing their role. Zach Merritt had 7 tackles and, you know, about 9 clearances. Darcy Parrish had about 17 contested possessions and a bunch of clearances. Centerfield had a bunch of contested possessions. So everyone is playing their role. Thankfully, no Zach Merritt leading into Anzac Day because he wasn't able to appeal his tribunal ban. He's 1 week for a sling tackle, but that's kind of null and void when we lose Taylor Adams to another sling tackle and he's not playing in Anzac Day. So if Taylor Adams was playing and Zach Merritt wasn't, that'd be a win, but they're both not playing, so they kind of just nullify each other, so it's kind of just back to square one. But, you know, Zach Merritt, their captain, their leader, not playing is huge. Like Taylor Adams, yes, he's a really good player. We'll be able to, get Finn McRae in. Geordie comes back, so that's great. I think losing Zach Merritt will hurt Essendon. With Essendon, though, they're ranked 17th in clangers per game, which means that they concede the least clangers per game. They're the second least clanger team in the competition at the moment. Collingwood are ranked 12th for that. So they don't like turning the ball over. Fair enough. I wouldn't like turning the ball over either. I think that's what we have to exploit. Collingwood are a very good contested possession team. They're a very good ground ball team, and they're a very good pressure team, either perceived pressure or applied pressure. We're going to have to get our tackles over 65 against Essendon on Tuesday because we want them to stuff up. We want them to turn over, much like what's happening is against St Kilda. The Saints they like playing along the wings. That's where they play most of their game. If you watch that game back, we're sort of pushing them into the middle, and that's where the ball's getting turned over, and that is our best avenue for goal. We know we love that corridor run. So as soon as that ball gets turned over in the middle, that's where we come out firing and play that sort of Russian roulette football. So that's what we have to do. We have to force Essendon into turning the ball over, wherever it may be, but we have to force Essendon into turning the ball over or kicking it long down the field into their forward line and Darcy Moore picking those intercepts up. That's one thing Essendon do a lot. Their inside 50 ball movement isn't very good. They're kicking it long, It let Melbourne be able to intercept. And yes, they did kick more goals, but that wasn't when they were bombing it in. It was, you know, other avenues. But when they bomb it in, when they're under pressure and they bomb it in, that's when our intercept defenders can get the better of them. Much like we were doing against St Kilda, Nathan Murphy, Isaac Quaynor, Darcy Moore all had 30 intercept possessions between them, combined 30 intercept possessions, which is absolutely huge. They'll need to have a very, very, very good game, minus Nathan Murphy, of course. Talk a little bit about that later. But they're going to have a very big game. So it's going to be intercept possessions that are going to dictate this game, and if we can force Essendon into turnovers. We know we play this Russian roulette style of football. Saw it all season, yeah? We push up really nice, and then can we push back quickly enough? You'll see a lot on, like, First Crack, AFL 360, Footy Classified, and all these other footy shows where you see that Collingwood will pressure the ball carrier and pressure, that ground ball. But if that ball goes over the top, there's no one there stopping besides, you know, Darcy Moore or whoever is, like, sort of last line of defense. So if we are going to commit those bodies into that contest, we're going to sure as hell need to get it back out and go the other way if we have to. We can't let that counter-attacking football stuff us up. We did pretty well against St Kilda to kind of rectify that a little bit, but we can't let that football style stuff us up, because Essendon will be lethal. They've got a very good midfield. Jake Stringer is popping up, kicking a lot of goals. Langford and Sam Draper as well when he goes down there. So they are a potent forward line. It's going to be very interesting to see how we stack up, especially without Nathan Murphy. The big thing that Essendon is going to try to exploit, besides that sort of Russian roulette counter-attacking football, is our ruck situation. Obviously, we have no ruckman. Billy Frampton did his best against Rowan Marshall, just playing that role. We'll definitely bring in Nathan Kruger. He won't play forward. He'll just play sole ruck. And I don't care if he doesn't get any sort of hit-outs or that sort of stuff, but we need Billy Frampton down back, especially now without Dan McStay. We need Billy Frampton down back to hold down the fort, and we just need someone competing in the middle, right? We've got Ash Johnson down forward. We just need someone competing in the middle, and that's going to be Kruger. Hopefully his shoulders, I think now, plural, because they're both done. Hopefully they both hold up, because he is going to be very important, especially against Sam Draper, who is kind of like a 2018-2019 Brody Grundy reincarnate, where he can push, he gets those clearances, he gets those midfield minutes, but now he's pushing into the forward line, kicked 3 goals against Melbourne. He'll bob up for at least 1 or 2 goals per game. That is where the game, I feel like, is going to be won or lost. We are going to lose ruck hitouts and probably a bunch of clearances, because that's just the nature of it without a ruckman. We've seen a lot of teams do it against Brody Grundy, where they would play to his sort of taps and stuff, so it diminishes what Grundy can do. That might be what we have to do to Sam Draper. Yes, you know, set up for Kruger to hopefully win the tap, but 8 times out of 10, he's probably not going to, I feel anyway. And we're going to have to be on our game, because Draper is probably going to start just grabbing it from the ruck and clear it and, you know, kicking it long or smashing it long, kind of like what Oscar McInerney was doing in that first game without a ruckman. So that's going to be very, very, very interesting to see. Now, moving magnets. We have to make 3 forced changes. We have Dan McStay going out, Nathan Murphy going out with that concussion, and now we've got Taylor Adams' 1 week suspension. So that's 3 forced changes we have to make. I'm going to add in a 4th in there and take Tom Wilson out of the game as well. Didn't have any impact when he came on, and I like Tom Wilson, does well in the VFL, but he just looked a little bit lost. So I've got 4 changes that I have to make, and this is who I'm bringing in. Nathan Kruger for Dan McStay, but Nathan Kruger in the ruck. Billy Frampton goes down back. We've got Nathan Murphy out now. I'm going to bring in Trey Rusko for Nathan Murphy. Rusko, let me talk about Nathan Murphy first. You cannot replicate Murphy's courage, Murphy's attitude, and Murphy's warrior-like abilities, right? Last man in defense. He's just going to put his body on the line. You cannot replicate that. Rusko has to come in, and he has had scintillating VFL form off the halfback line. He has to just do his job. I'm not expecting him to fly like Jeremy Howe or put his body over it like Nathan Murphy with the going back with the flight. Yes, I would like him to see him do that, obviously, because he's a defender. But He just has to be on his man, stay on his man, and keep his man to sort of zero or one goals at least. But also, I need him intercept marking to help out Murphy and to help out Quaynor. We've got Taylor Adams coming out. Jordan Dugowie comes straight back into the side. He was out with gastro. He helps us exponentially. Of course, Jordan Dugowie. The last one, this little piggy, Finn McRae. I was going to say he makes his debut. It feels like he has never played a game. But Finn McRae comes back in my opinion, to help that midfield. Amazing clearance player in the VFL. Racks up the disposals, can lay a tackle as well. He's getting bigger. And he is playing AFL level football in the VFL. So give him a go. It's hard to get minutes into this Collingwood side when we are up and about with no injuries. So he has to take this opportunity to just cement his spot. Will he still be in the team when Adams comes back? Who knows? We'll see. He has to have a really good game though. Like Tom Wilson came in, had 5 touches or something like that. He came in at the start of the second quarter. So he had 3 quarters to sort of get more, right? Finlay McRae, I reckon he starts straight in the guts and he has to have a big game. I'm expecting I want at least upwards of 6 clearances, 20 disposals and a bunch of inside 50s. Now my predictions for this game. Anzac Day medal, you would think it would go to Nick Dacos if he has another good game. I feel like Essendon are really, really going to put minutes into him and really going to tag him more than the Lockie Jones tag. I just feel like they have to null and void his style of play and what he's able to do and how he's able to set up for us. So I feel like Nick Dacos isn't going to have a big game against Anzac Day. I hope I'm wrong, but I feel like he isn't going to have a big game on Anzac Day. If the Anzac Day medal does go to a Collingwood player, I really think that it's going to be Darcy Moore or Tom Mitchell for what, you know, Mitchell is sort of able to do in the middle and just that other sort of, another different type of warrior for us in the middle. But it could either go to Darcy Moore as well. His intercept possessions will dictate the game. He likes to dictate the game off a half back line. He might not have a bunch of disposals or anything like that, but with no Nathan Murphy, Moore needs to have a really, really big game. He's going up against, you know, like Langford, Stringer, and all those type of players, Draper when he's back down there as well. So Moore is going to have a huge game, and I think that it's either Moore or Tom Mitchell that win the Anzac Day medal. And look, the game, to decide the game, I feel like this is going to be just such a close, close, close game. Again, we've played a bunch of close games. We know what happened last time. We played Essendon, you know, Jamie, after the siren. I don't know why, but Collingwood by 4 points. It's going to be another heart stopper. It's going to be another close game, like I just said. I don't think any team wins by more than... Actually, if Collingwood win, it's going to be by less than 12. But if Essendon win, they're going to win and they're going to win hard. And it's going to be by over 30. That's how I feel like this game goes. But I'm tipping Collingwood by 4 points. And I'm also tipping Jamie Elliott to have a big game as well. Because he's been a little bit quiet. Now with Geordie back, he doesn't have to go into the middle. I'm tipping him to have a big game, maybe kick 3 or 4 goals. But anyway, guys, this has just been my preview for the Anzac Day game. Let me know your thoughts down below. How do we win? What is going to happen? Your Anzac Day medalist, leave them all down below. But until then, like, comment, subscribe, tell your family, tell your friends, tell your pets, and until next time, Double Shaggers, I'll sweep you later.